Lord, the assignment that you've given to the church. Many of us, I want to say all of us right now, want to know clearly how to carry it out. So we're here trusting the same Holy Spirit that led Jesus, the same Holy Spirit that led the apostles, the same Holy Spirit that wrote the Bible. He's still here. To enable us to fulfill what you call us to do and to enjoy your presence and the privilege that you have for us as individuals. And stop fighting every little, try to put out every little fire. That we can grow and develop and do things according to your will. Help us to see it in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Luke Gospel and the book of Acts are tied in together. The way he opened up the book of Acts, in the first verse there you see, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. You see that? Now, just for your understanding, the tie-in here, this king, I think this was a king, but his name meant lover of God. Lover of God. Now, that's one of the marks of Jesus. He was a lover of God. And to carry out what the Lord wants you to carry out, you got to be a lover of God. The disciples or the apostles was lovers of God. And so I'm going to read a little bit for you. We're going to be dealing with, in this teaching, in this setting, the Lord is trying to establish apostolic believers in the church. In other words, getting beyond our needs and our wants and being about his business, and then everything you need and everything you want will already be there. Amen. So if you're taking notes, we'll deal with training in the apostolic kingdom dominion agenda. Training in the apostolic kingdom dominion agenda. Now, also, I want you to see the light of that statement, because it means that your life about to move to another level. Okay? Because once you learn it, once you begin to learn this way of following the Spirit like the apostles did, you're going to have the same power and get the same manifestation that they were getting.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Yes.
See, this is not a denominational setting. So I want to read. I read some. When it was? I've taught so many classes out of the Passion Bible. I think it was Sunday. Translation. I want to read this, a few verses here tonight in the first chapter. We're still in the first chapter of Acts. We're studying the book of Acts. And I'll give you an introduction of what that subject means in a few moments. But beginning at the first verse, it said, to Theophilus, the lover of God, I write to you again, meaning he already wrote to him in the book of Luke, my dear friend, to give you further details about the life of our Lord Jesus and all the things that he did and taught. What a privilege. He said he's going to give him further details about the life of our Lord Jesus, all the things he did and taught. And I think we need to know that.
Yes,
I said, I think we need to know that.
Yes.
He goes on in this translation, just before he ascended into heaven, he left instruction. You see that?
Yes.
He left instruction. What are instruction for? That's another word I'm looking for.
Direction.
All right. And so since the church is apostolic, I think what happened in teaching my class on last night in the school, I brought some of my notes from last night. One of the things I'm teaching the ministers is the forgotten model of ministry. The apostle, and what happened, I told them what happened, it shipwrecked all other ministry. It shipwrecked the prophet, the teacher, the pastor, and the evangelist. Because it's God's divine order, it's the rank. And so that apostolic government was supposed to pass it down to the other four, and the other four was to operate in coordination and decent in order and pass it down to the believer. So since it got mixed up, the believers somewhat have been on their own trying to find out how to get around this thing. And so we want to do in these lessons, teach you the attribute and the ability and the authority and the dominion that you should have as a Christian. It'd be okay? Yeah, it'll make your life more exciting. Yes. You know, it's more than just an emotional feeling on Sunday. No, the light never go off.
Amen.
And the excitement will never leave you, because you're overwhelmed with a greater presence. I was praying. I didn't know the Lord was going to let me tell you this. I was praying. And I was right over there sitting in this chair. And I had been praying about 45 minute in tongue. And some strange words came out. I said, well, when they do that, I asked, what is that? What is that? That's the way I talk with the Lord. What is that? Now you're really going to have to be ready for this. He said, I've set Jacob's ladder on the inside of you. Now, some of y'all may not know what that means, but Jacob's ladder was trafficked from earth to heaven, from heaven to earth. Angels going up and down, God at the top of it. Then God told Jacob, I'm going to give you some land and nobody going to be able to stop you, and I'm going to be with you everywhere you go. You read in the 28th chapter of Genesis, I'm not going to go there, but he told me to tell you that same ladder on the inside of you. That means his presence is with you all the time. That means you from earth can touch heaven anytime you get ready. And heaven is constantly touching you. And so you're never alone in your car. When you lay down at night in your bed, you're never alone. Because wherever you go, he go in you. And I may elaborate on that some more at another time. But I want you to see this, because I got some notes I got to give you. In the third verse, it says, after the suffering of his cross, the passion, the time between Gethsemane and the cross, Jesus went through a lot of stuff. And he's talking about the cross and the resurrection. Then in this chapter, talk about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. It talks about power of how to use faith. What you mean that? Faith in manifestation has to operate absent. It don't have no evidence. So when they went to question about when he's going to restore Israel, that's not your business. And so the reason you have some episode in your life that you don't understand is to keep you operating in faith. So if you got something going on in your life right now and you say, I'm praying about this thing and it's not working, it's for you to keep operating in faith. All right? Because if you can see and feel and touch everything you need in your life, you're going to operate in the flesh. So the second voice says, just before he ascended into heaven, he left instruction for the apostle. He has chosen by the Holy Spirit. He had chosen by the very important Everything that Jesus did, he did it through the leading and the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Everything he did. All right? And we're going to do the same. So the third voice says, after the suffering of his cross, Jesus appeared alive many times to these same apostles over a 40-day period. Jesus proved to them with many convincing signs that he had been resurrected. So we're operating under that power. We're operating under Philippians 3:10 power, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. And then in 1 Corinthians 1, it talks about the power of the cross is the wisdom of God. The cross is the wisdom of God and the power of God. All of these things you have to be aware of to be able to function in what we're talking about. Now, it says at the latter part of that third verse, during these encounters, he taught them the truth of God's kingdom realm. Write down that down, God's kingdom realm. God's kingdom realm. And then you, it's good reading, Father, but I want to begin to tell you, well, no, all right. Turn to Acts chapter 2. We're still in verse one, chapter 1, but I want to show you some things that I think need to be highlighted here as becoming an apostolic believer. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I want you to see them. I'm going to read out the King James Version now. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What? No. And they continued steadfastly in the pastor's doctrine. Oh, I said that wrong. In the prophet doctrine. Why did he put it like this? You see? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, teaching, training, and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. How many of y'all see that? Amen. All right, another verse I want you to see is the uh, 43rd verse. And fear came upon every soul. And what? Was done by the apostles, right? And then you have Acts 4:33. I just want you to see the apostolic insight here. In Acts 4:33 it says, and with great power give the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, here's what I want you to hear now. I'm going to read one more about that. These apostles was operating in functioning in a certain level in the spirit, but that same level was coming off on them who were with them. See, they had to have, the apostles couldn't do the job by themselves. So they had to have those who were working with them able to function in the same manner, with the same type of anointing, same type of understanding, same type of contact, same type of authority. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right, now, stick with me a minute. I want to show you something. Now, even in Acts 5:12, and actually, everybody should have been gone by then. Acts 5:12, they shouldn't have had no more members. Because two members just dropped dead in the church for lying. It's some real members, y'all. They shouldn't have had nobody there because everybody should have been gone. They had some became afraid to join themselves to them after that. But it says in the 12th verse, and by the hands of the apostles, were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. I just want to show you the thrust of that apostolic training. They were showing them how it worked. Not that only we can do it, but you all have the same assignment. Y'all can do it too. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Now, when I wrote this, the Lord said to me, every believer is called to an apostolic government assignment. Every believer is called to an apostolic government assignment. Now listen to the next statement, because there's so much abstract going on now. He said to flow in absolute arena of authority. So we're talking about absolute authority. We're talking about authority that can't be changed, authority that can be challenged, but it'll never lose. And your personal life should be that way. All right? Every believer is called to an apostolic governmental assignment to flow in absolute arenas of authority and kingdom dominion on behalf of God the Father through the Son of God in the power of the Holy Ghost. You must continue to learn who you are from the inside. You must continue to learn who you are on the inside. Very important, because this work or this commission or this call or this assignment cannot, will not be done from the outside. I don't care how many scriptures you can quote. I don't care how many chapters you have read. That there must be an inspiration, an illumination, insight from the inside where God can work with you to give you that power full enough for you to do what he wants you to do.
Yes, sir.
The old Baptist preacher used to be preaching and nobody say nothing. He'd say, amen, wall. Anybody ever heard that? So it's inside that you must be concerned about. Keep listening. I wrote this, I don't know how much it's going to help you, but it should give you 100% boost in your life. Turning from my agenda to God's agenda. I think our problem is our agenda have taken too much of our time because we didn't know we had a greater agenda.
Yes, sir.
And we didn't know if we take care of the greater agenda, guess what? Your agenda will be taken care of. All right. Take this point number one. Partnership with Jesus through the power of the passion of the cross and the privilege of his resurrection. So there's a power and a privilege that you have here. That's a power and a privilege. The power, dealing with the partnership with Jesus through the power of the passion of the cross. You're in partnership with his cross and you're in privilege with his resurrection. Now that's a mouthful there. Because that cross and the resurrection, they both unstoppable.
Yes, sir.
They release for us as believers unstoppable anointing, unstoppable authority, unstoppable application in our life. It's nothing when you functioning from the power of the cross and the privilege of the resurrection, absolutely nothing can stop you.
Amen.
And you have to know that. You have to know that the cross, now listen to this, the cross power is absolute.
Amen.
You know what absolute means?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
It can't be questioned.
Yes, sir.
It can't be substituted for.
Yes, sir.
Nothing can remove it. Nothing can erase it. It's absolute. It's not here for a moment and a greater cross came. Or a greater religion, a greater revelation, a greater prophet rise up and say he knows something greater than the cross you believe in. No, that's not, don't exist. And so there is, men was raised from the dead, but only one was resurrected. What's the difference? The one who was resurrected? See, I want to tell you, I'm going to make an announcement. I ain't dying no more. He's the only one. Lazarus died again. Oh, Lord, but he didn't never, he, resurrection mean he rose to stay up.
Wow.
Now, what are you saying to me, Pastor? Well, I'm saying that when you operate and function in the privilege of the resurrection, you rise to stay up. No, no matter, can't kill you again. That problem that whooped you before, because you're under the privilege of the resurrection, can't take it out no more. And to operate in the book of Acts as apostolic believers, we're going to have to know we're operating from two powers, the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection, both absolute. Nobody can question them. Nobody can change them. It'll never go backwards. It's always going to go forward. So when you find your life going backwards, you're not in your right place. When you find yourself feeling like you're losing and you can't go no further, you're not in the right place. God can't use you there. You're too busy fighting them little rat fights. You're more powerful than that. Tell the person next to you, you're more powerful than that. Ask them, what you think about it anyway? Ask them, what do you think about right now? Tell them, you're more powerful than that. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, because in that first chapter, Jesus was teaching things pertaining to the kingdom of God, what it is and how it works. What it is and how it works. Now it's Romans 5, 17. Romans 5, 17. I got full 17 in my note, but I think it's 5, 17. That's still not it. Roman, I'm looking for the scripture where the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness. Who know it now? What? 14:17. Go to Romans 14:17. Because I want you to see this pertaining to the kingdom of God, what it is and how it works. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, number one, and peace, number two, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if you don't understand righteousness, if you don't understand peace, peace does not mean nothing that's not going wrong. So don't let the enemy, if that was the case, you wouldn't have no pastor. So I'd be somewhere in the corner crying. I don't know why that happened to me, but I'll never do that. So peace doesn't mean you don't have nothing going against your life. You know, the kingdom of God is righteousness. It's a higher peace. It's a peace, he talked about it in Philippians 4, a peace that passes all understanding. That's the kind of peace you're going to have to operate in for God to use you. And you all know a lot of times we're not operating in that kind of peace because we're so busy about our agenda, and our agenda is a shipwreck agenda sometimes. But if we were busy about the Father's business, operating in that kingdom authority, we'd be operating on this peace that passed all understanding, and we can operate in the kingdom. And joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Training in the apostolic kingdom dominion agenda also carried the notes. I hope I have this one right, because I just write these notes. 1 Corinthians 4:20. 1 Corinthians 4:20. If I'm not right, we're going to find it. 1 Corinthians 4:20. Let's see what it says. All right, that's the right one. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. For the kingdom of God, notice, class, is not in word, but in power. Now, you know what 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, right? Huh? Let's go there. Let's go there. Because when you're operating as an apostolic believer, there's a certain way you operate. There's certain things you need to go. Now, look at what it says. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. You remember what you just read in 1 Corinthians 4:20, right? So now it gives us a commentary on what he's talking about, how the kingdom operate, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost,
yeah, yeah,
and in much assurance. Look at the end of the verse, why all this going on. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying, because the apostolic have not been understood, those type of manners have not been among you.
Wow.
We read the scripture, we've been reading the scripture, but according to what I see have been going on at large in the body of Christ, they had not had the proper training.
Yes, sir.
Watch what I'm going to say, including pastors,
right,
prophets, teachers, and evangelists. They got it all mixed up and put it in one pile because the rank wasn't in place. It's like in the army, somebody, well, I'll tell you a good one. When I was a boy, all a cowboy knew when he was fighting against Indian, yeah, that man with them feathers on his head, get him and everybody else going back. So they wasn't shooting at nobody else. They were shooting just at the chief. When he fell off his horse, everybody else went spread out. And so Satan know that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen, sir. Yeah.
So we've been fumbling around here and stumbling around here. We've been praying and thanking God. But the promotion and the progress and the peace and the power,
wow,
and the privileges that Jesus set for us on the cross and his resurrection has not been verified as they should, because we got so busy about ourselves and forgot about the assignment.
Yes, sir.
Don't feel so guilty, because I told you why it happened. See, a pastor without apostolic training, he gonna go traditionally through the rituals that all other pastors went through before him. See, but there's an anointing here tonight that to lift you up higher than you've been.
Yes,
to make your prayers more powerful. And prior to saying more powerful, I had another word that I think we're going to do better. More in a position of validation. Because there are certain things that you need to know by yourself, about yourself. And I like that. Put that voice back up, because I like what the Holy Ghost is calling on here. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. Thank you, Lord. But also in power. Thank you, Lord. And in the Holy Ghost. Full thing. And in much assurance. So you won't be wobbling around here wondering how this thing worked. See, remember what Acts 5:12 said? It was demonstrating. Paul said it. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2,
yes, sir,
verses 4 and 5. Paul said it.
Yes, sir.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. And my speech and my preaching,
yes,
was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of what?
Power.
Now look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Somebody clap.
Hallelujah.
That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. So there we have it. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, and this text right here telling us something missing in the church today. See? So if the apostle out, the pastor can't demonstrate. The evangelist can't demonstrate. And they're going to get all mixed up, and they're going to be doing things all kind of ways like man trying to do it. And then the power is not flowing like it should. Can you see me?
Yes.
Knowing the power of the Holy Spirit and how to operate in his power properly. And we got down to the 8th verse. Go to Acts 1:8. We got down to that verse. That was a kindred. Luke had been trying to remind us in Luke 24:49. Go there first. Luke 24:49. Because this is a repeated promise. John the Baptist had given it. John said, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And so this is a promise. Behold, I send the promise. Now, Luke, remember, Luke is the same writer. Luke wrote Luke and the book of Acts. Amen. All right? Here he says in the book of Luke, and behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be what? All right, now, you know Jesus was the chief apostle. Yes, sir. All right, now, if you've never been in the presence of a real apostle, and you've been in church many years, and all you know is a pastor's anointing, or evangelist's anointing, that's the level you're going to be able to rise to. But in the book of Acts, it was operating under apostolic anointing. Those epistles, they're operating under an apostolic anointing, because you remember what he told Paul the apostle left the pastors with this anointing. Turn to Acts 20. He left them with a fresh anointing. He said, I'm about to leave, but y'all got to operate in this kind of anointing. Take heed to yourself, Acts 20:28. Take heed to yourself and all the flock. The apostle talking to the pastor. Yes, sir. And all of our words, which the Holy Ghost had made you overseer to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, you all thought that Ledoux and I was crashing. Ledoux preached the assignment that I told him to preach about evangelism, because we're all supposed to go evangelizing. I come back with an apostolic revelation, and it looked like it was in conflict. No, I'm pegging this thing out. Because he said, look what he said, to feed the church of God, which is put the pastor, you feed. Pastor, you feed. You're not going to have no evangelistic crusade on a Sunday morning. Because there ain't that many sinners coming. But you feed these people that I made you overseer, that they may be able to live beyond, oh my, need consciousness. You ready? I want them to see me wrap it up. What wrap up? Whatever they're dealing with. I want them to see, I want to put them in a position where I can wrap it up, and then they say, oh man, all these years, my God. See, it's a wrap up position God trying to get you in, because what you're dealing with is not that great. Satan have magnified, but if you look in the real mirror and do things right, his magnification will turn to a midget. See, we got a big war to deal with. We're fighting too many little wars. Pastor's job is to feed. The pastor is not an evangelist. Didn't say he couldn't witness, but he's not an evangelist. When we come here tonight, we're training in maturity, how to function in the spirit. That's what it's about. Go to the next verse. See, if these pastors don't have an apostle to tell them what to do, they don't know what to do. Here's the apostle talking now. He about to leave. He said, for I know this, that after my departing, they ain't coming here while I'm here. Shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. That's why he told him, feed the flock. Yes, go ahead. Go to the next verse. I just want you to see this passing through. Oh, my. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. All who left here left by themselves. All of them who left here left by themselves. They really thought somebody was going with them. They didn't go. Kinfolk didn't go with them. I don't know what you think. No, I ain't got to leave. I ain't going nowhere. The Lord sent me here. I don't know what you think about. I go to a little, if you have a little meeting, I go to a little meeting, the first one, but I'm really a member here. Amen. Go to the next verse. I'm going to take you to a verse I want you to see. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone. Now, they see, the apostle was training that pastor. Now, look at the 32nd verse. Uh-huh. And now, brethren, I commend you to who?
God.
And to what? What you gave or what? And do what? Among all them which are sanctified. Paul said, I'm leaving, but you stick with this word. I'll be back to check you out, but this is what y'all are going to have to do while I'm gone. See, pastor never said unto nobody. I'm a pastor, me. Yeah, but you're not the top rank. There's something missing in you if you don't understand my governmental authority in the lineup I set. So that, know what that mean? Huh? Boy, I get into it, I ain't gonna be able to get out of it. That mean, go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. A whole lot of suffering. Watch the next word now. And a whole lot of substituting is taking place, so the joy not there. The good's not there. The power not there. See? Because the instruction is not there. The direction is not there. The impartation is not there. The mantle. The mantle. Every believer should wear an apostolic mantle. But they have to be connected to an apostle. Your pastor had to be connected. I don't care, pastor. Y'all just shut up and listen. This is the Bible. Read this link here. Read how God set it up. He gives some pastors, preachers, bishops, overseers. He gives some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now go to the next verse. I mean, I got all my notes, but I got to show you this now. When that, go back to the first, go back to the 11th verse. The 12th verse cannot happen without the 11th verse. So now what happened then? Well, I mean, go back to the 12th verse now. What happened? Where are we? Now, I admit, and I'll say it myself, many years I ran from something I didn't know what I was running from. So it was somewhat working in this church. That apostolic call, when I got in that RV that day, that wasn't the first time he told me that. He'd been telling me different ways, but this time he just made me mind, say, I'll call you to be an apostle. But he had told me some other ways, and so I acted different. And, you know, people say, won't you just settle down and be a pastor? But I had something else working in me and didn't know it. Now I'm studying how it works so I can share with you and that we can build churches from this perspective. Wave your hand at me. Now, you may not believe me, but by the personal fellowship of the Holy Spirit, your life will never remain on the same level after these times. Your prayer going to be different. Your meditation going to be different. Your answer going to be different. Your command going to be different. Are you following me? And then you begin to stop going through the humdrum. Excitement is, I don't know what's going to happen. There ain't no excitement, no way everything gonna happen. They're gonna sing a song and he gonna pray and his son gonna come up here and then somebody else gonna do something else. You don't know what's gonna happen yet right now. You see, look what happened. You're gonna be able to wear your Christmas clothes on Christmas, yes. Because we're gonna have church here Christmas Day. But I said 10 o'clock. New Year's night, you're going to be at a shout. We're going to have church here, 10:30, New Eve, New Year's Eve. We're going to have service. I got both of the messages. I got the word for 2019. No, y'all ain't telling you, 90s ain't 2000s ain't New Year's. But I'm praying, and I heard some strange words, and I couldn't get a definition of it, and I'm walking back right this way, and I said, all right, Lord, I'll have church Sunday evening. I'll do it Sunday evening. We'll celebrate Christmas. He answered me. And so by the time I turned around and went back to look at my Bible to write something down, I knew that he wanted me to have church Christmas Day. And he wanted me to have church right behind it. He came because I was trying to put it on Sunday before New Year's Eve, you know. Sunday evening, you know. He didn't answer me. And I've learned not to go against the grain. All right, put the scripture back up and take it down when I tell you to take it down. For the perfecting of the saints. One thing. What that perfecting of the saint mean what? Let me ask you a question now. Now I want you to give me the truth. Why are you still whining about certain things? Because you haven't grown up. Did I say it was your fault? No. For the work of the ministry? What do you mean by for the work of the ministry? What do you mean now? A reverend? Everybody a reverend? Everybody should have reverence. What do you mean by the work of the ministry? Huh? Whatever ministry you connected with, you should do your part. That's your assignment. Ain't my assignment by myself. He told me to come tell you. He told me to write it on the wall. It's written on the wall. But if you don't have the power, you're not going to know how excited it is. It's not just getting people saved. It's being saved yourself. And handling things in your life with a greater dimension of power. Don't just let everything push you over and tell you where you're not going. You got to let the real God come out of you and the real power. Then you're going to enjoy yourself. But all this praying about the same thing every week, every month, and don't look like nothing's going to happen. Ain't nobody happy about that. I don't know if it's 14 times in my life I said pray for me out of 44 years. Pray if you want. I'm going to pray for myself. Amen. You might not like me. You might say, Lord, I don't have nothing to say about him today. Ooh, I know y'all love me, but I just, you know. I know the pastor knows how to pray for himself. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Go to the next verse now. That's a whole host of things. I can't go to all those things. I just use the 13th verse. You go to the 16th verse. Things are missing in our lives. Till we all come into unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And it goes on and on and on that these connections with the fivefold ministry gift in order would produce a certain type of believer. And we don't have that like we should. Don't shout me down. All right, now. Go back to Acts 1:8 now. You know, we read in 24 to 49, you should be endued with power. Now Jesus said it again. John the Baptist said it when Jesus was baptized. Jesus didn't start his ministry until he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. Then he was led in the wilderness, but he had the Holy Ghost with him. Yeah, Acts 1:8 now said, but you should receive power. Now you got to have power to function in apostolic kingdom dominion, you got to have the power of the Holy Ghost. And you got to know what it's for. He said, but you should receive power after, and you know, chapter 2 is going to happen. And we'll see what it did with it. You should receive power after that the Holy Ghost come on you, and you'll be a witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and into all Judah and the Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. power. So everybody say power.
Power.
Yeah, you see, the power of the Holy Ghost is the thing that makes you understand the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. It makes you understand the passion, make you understand the power of the cross, make you understand the power of the resurrection, the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost is trying to channel you somewhere when the enemy jump on you, jump in your family, jump in your personal life, and start trying to do something. The power of the Holy Ghost laugh and say, let's go.
Amen.
Next time he come back, he won't find you in this spot. That's what your challenge is for you to walk a little heavier.
Yeah.
Walk a little higher. Walk a little more heavenly. Don't let this urge tie you down. Because you're above things that Satan try to do, and this system try to do, and this culture try to do, and I don't care who it is. You're not going to enjoy it to the end. That Mark Barber ain't going to get it. You got to know the reality of this power that is belonging to you as an apostolic believer, not a Baptist, not a word of faith, but an apostolic believer, a believer who have divine orders from God. Amen?
Amen.
Can I talk with you?
Yes, sir.
All right, now. Always wearing an ascension mantle that remind you that you are an agent of change. They're back in Acts 1 now. I'm still in Acts 1. I'm preaching Acts 1. They're in Acts 1 again. I want you to look in verse 9 now. And when he had spoken these things, he getting ready to leave, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. There's an ascension mantle there. There's something that I'm gone, you take over.
Amen.
What?
Yeah.
And you have to take over the same way I had it.
Yeah. Yeah.
See? I stayed here these 3 years for you to see it. You know I told you already I was going away. But I stayed these 3 years to set a Holy Ghost following example to you for the self-same Holy Ghost that guided me and gave me power over my enemy, over situation, over water, over provision, over sickness and disease,
yes,
over religion,
same power.
I want you to take it forward.
Yeah.
But you're going to have an ascension anointing. You don't hear that too much. What you mean by ascension anointing? The ascension ratified the Holy Ghost coming. The ascension allowed the Holy Ghost to come in a stronger dimension on me.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
See? So actually, I'm able to wear an ascension anointing, ascension mantle, which provide for me to produce Jesus all over again. Now, why are you looking at the person next to you? I'm talking to you.
Yes,
see, that's the problem. Well, you look at somebody else. No, the Lord talking to you, baby. He ain't talking to that person next to you by themselves. He's talking to you. You. If you understand the ascension, you understand there's no power. Here's what the ascension saying. There's no power down here that can hold me down. Watch me. He said, watch me. He taking off? What? The apostles had never seen that? What is levitating? Huh? He didn't reverse the tug of the power? He wanted them to see that, that I could have taken off any time. Now you say, well, that's Jesus. Well, you ought to read the 8th chapter of Acts. Man was in one place. Look up. In another city. Never caught a bus, never caught a plane, never got in a car. Whoosh, I feel that power right now. The ascension in that ninth verse, 10th verse, was to show the church there's nothing that can hold you down. There's nobody who can stop you if you're operating and functioning on my behalf. On my behalf. But we function so much on our own behalf. Boy, got quiet. Huh? Deny yourself. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave, what the next voice says, first part. I will not frustrate the grace of God. So for the apostles not to be in their place, it means the pastor has been a wrong model. Yes, sir. Now, I'm not putting them down. I'm a pastor myself, you understand? I'm not putting them down, but I'm seeing, as I study the apostolic leadership, I'm seeing so much. I'm seeing now I don't have to get so perturbed about members and people who are lazy and who you know, just nonchalant. I understand now. I understand why they don't understand. See, it's not about membership. It's about feeding who God put. The Lord said, I'll add to the church daily. So just take the ascension now. Take the ascension as a special anointing that you have that, and just flat foot understand. I thank God for it. From the ascension, I never saw this in a book, but I see it now, that Jesus proved that I always was in control. I was in control at the cross. They thought they had me. I was in control. I let them do it. Why did you let them do it, Jesus? So I can put you in control. So you can take on the same nature I was working in. Oh, my God. So when you rise up tomorrow morning, know that Christ in the earth is rising up. Same nature, same Holy Ghost, same power, same Father, same assignment, same kingdom, same anointing, same authority, same dominion. Stop whining and clowning. If you're in a battle, stand up. Tell the Lord, handle it. I'm gonna do your business. It's nothing like a good fight when you know how to win. Are you following me? Every child of God, you listening? Every child of God, no matter what's going on, you in a winning position. Stop looking out of the wrong eyes. And stop feeling with the wrong heart. Because Satan got a chance to get his hand on you and just bug you and pest you. But if you working out of your righteousness, waking out of your anointing and waking out your mantle and seeing with your other eye and hearing with your other ear. Just get wild, say, I'm about to gravitate out of this mess. Because you have an ascension anointing. And we're not going to be able to do the work that God wants to do, but I don't understand that. I got to close, you know. I ain't staying there too long tonight. But amen. But you understand what I'm saying? Write this down. Working from the finished work of Christ, resting in a seated position of authority from heaven. Working from the finished, he said it's finished.
Yes, sir.
What are you talking about? Everything that pertains to him and God and you who are a child is already finished. Every battle you in already finished. But you keep fighting in the first round. Go to the knockout round. Putting the hand, about it, putting their hand on you. Let me share with this with you, and then a modeling Christian. You should be modeling as a Christian. You must be changed from need to deed. You must be changed from need to deed. When that change takes place, need will dissipate. But as long as you stay on Need Street, I didn't say Neil Street, I said Need Street. As long as you're just kneeling for your need, I want you to craft this now. Your modeling as a Christian must be changed from need to deed. Yes, something you're not too familiar with. I got to close with that. Here and applying the apostolic doctrine and teaching, and I closed my class last night with this, of absolute truth and power that cannot be stopped by no abstract focus, a force, abstract force. See, we have not used the word absolute. We're the only one can use it.
Amen.
And nothing else absolute. Everything else is subject to change. But my walk with God, or my connection with God, if I yield to my part, it can't change. It can't change, even though I got a problem on the right and a problem to the left. I'm still not disconnected. Jesus still is the way. That's absolute. John 14:6. Jesus still the way. Hey, what you dealing with? Jesus still the way? You know what? Tonight? Yes, he's still the way. Tomorrow? It's absolute. He's the absolute way. He's the absolute truth. You want me to show you a way that Jesus is the absolute truth? Jesus do not have to advertise his product. He don't have to do it. His good is good. I mean, he don't even have no competitive market. Nobody can duplicate him. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. why you think nobody else got your fingerprint. Are you understanding me?
Yes, sir.
You can't be duplicated. You absolute. You the absolute only one. Science can't find another you. Psychology can't find another you. Demons can't find another you. You can't find another you. I can't find another you, because there's not another you on this planet. You absolute. You absolutely the only one. So stop being a crowd traveler. Make this thing personal. Then you can have fellowship. Amen. Absolute. That's absolutely nobody like you. You're the only one. He didn't make the more than one. Isn't that something? I didn't have, man, nobody else got my fingerprint. You can put $30 million in a vault and put that vault by your fingerprint. The other person be there all night long. Say, well, let's see, your hand look like his hand. Let's hit it. It ain't gonna work. You have special fingerprints in heavenly things. There are buttons you can push, but the person next to you can't push that same button. You have to get it away. Oh, my, my. If that was not so, every church would be just alike. Huh? If that wasn't so, everybody be teaching just like me tonight. I'll be teaching just like everybody else. It's not so. Blueprint. Fingerprint. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Let's get ready to give our tithes and offerings.